Today is our first week, a new year, and so what I'm going to talk about today is called New Year, New Beginning, all right? So a new year starts with a new day. The clock strikes 12, the old is gone, and we enter into the new. And we can be full of high expectations for those first few days, but without God, our expectations can very quickly plummet. But I want us to be encouraged today because our hope is this, that every day with God is a new day. Whether it's the 1st of January, the 1st of February, or the 1st of December, it is a new day and we get a new start with Him every day. So if you're in need of a new start, you're in the right place. The first scripture today is this, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, His compassions never fail. And verse 23 says, they are new every morning. It doesn't matter to God that it's not the 1st of January anymore, because they're new every morning. All of His compassion, all of His love, all of His caring for every part of our lives. God's got new things for every morning, every day, and every year. But if we want the new things this year, it starts by looking at each day in our year. You see, we get 365 new days that make up this one new year. It's not all dependent on the first few days in January. You know, we've maybe had five of them so far. We actually had seven. So there's still 358 to go. That was quick math there, eh? 358 new days still to go this year. And what we do with each one of those days, our daily occurrences affect our whole year. I want you to remember that phrase, our daily occurrences, what occurs daily in our life. Most of us know the story about the crippled man who was sat beside the temple gate and he was begging. And I'm just going to look at that story today. I want to look at this man and how he spent each day of his year and how that affected his life. So we're just going to start with the first verse about it. It's in Acts chapter 3, and this is what verse 2 says. A man crippled from his birth was laid each day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful, so that he might beg for those who entered the temple. So first of all, it says it was a man crippled from birth. So being crippled was all this man knew. He had no other knowledge before that. That's all he knew. He'd been in his situation for as long as he could remember. So what was he thinking? How did he see himself when this was the limits on his life? Was he thinking, it's useless. My situation will never change. So here's the question for us today. How long have we been in our situation? And is it crippling us? Are we thinking it's useless? And our situation will never change. Are we stuck in the same place emotionally, mentally, and spiritually? And how long have we been this way? Have we been this way as long as we can remember so that we can't remember anything else? You know, we think this is who we are, but it's not who we are. If we are in a crippled place, it's not who we are. Circumstances crippled this man. Circumstances can cripple us. The opinion of other people can cripple us. Things that have been said years ago, things that have been said in childhood even. So here's a revelation for all of us today. Even if it doesn't speak to us now, it might speak to us next week or next year. And the revelation is this, living in the negative opinion of other people will cripple you. It will cripple you. If we allow what someone else has said or what someone else thinks about us to affect our lives in a negative way, it will cripple us. Don't do it. Being crippled stopped this man from entering into the temple. And the temple, not just in the story, but in this time in history, represented the presence of God. That's where God lived. He lived in the Holy of Holies in the temple behind the curtain, behind the veil that separated him from the priests. That's where the presence of God was. And this man couldn't enter into God's presence. Being crippled stopped him. Do you know what? Being crippled will stop us entering God's presence too. It will stop us entering into all the good things that he's planned for us this year if we're still believing the negatives from last year. If we're still believing the rubbish that people have said about us or the circumstances that have brought us down. And if we're thinking right now, you know, if I say to you, God's got good things planned for you this new year. If the first thought that enters your head right now is, what good things, Sandra? Because nothing good happens to me. If that's your thought when anyone talks about good things, then can I just put it to you right now that you are crippled. You're as crippled as this beggar was crippled physically. We can be crippled emotionally and mentally and spiritually if we believe that nothing good ever happens for us. We need to stop believing that and we need to stop speaking it or we're allowing it to cripple ourselves. Folks, we need to stop sometimes in our lives and find out and ask the question, what is crippling us? What's crippled us? What's disappointed us? What's devastated us? Then we need to give it to God in order to be set free. So has anything devastated you? Has anything just brought you down to a standstill? Has anything brought disappointment? Then maybe that's where we're crippled and we need to give that to God. We can only be free if we get rid of these negative things. Neil and I know this man. He's not in this country, so it's okay to talk about this person. But whenever our life comes in contact with his life, which is not very often because he doesn't live near here, this man is living every single year with the same disappointment and the same bad decisions and the same failures that he's made in the past. He just sits there looking at them. And every so often, he tries to reach for a big event that will change his life. I'll go to this conference, that will change my life. I'll take part in that, and that will change my life. And he reaches for these big things, and it's a bit like making that big New Year's resolution. It just doesn't seem to last. It's not constant change. It just doesn't seem to have any foundation in it. And he wants a new year. But he is crippled because he's still constantly living in the things from the old year and the old decade even. And he wants new things to happen, but he's not willing to change what he does daily. He's not looking at the daily occurrences. He's not looking at what are my thought patterns on a daily basis. Because that's what he needs to change. Not reaching for the stars, not reaching for the big thing. But changing all the little things. Daily occurrences affect our whole year. If we want a new year, we need to look at what we're doing every day. What we believe about ourselves affects our whole year. What we believe about God and how he feels about us affects our whole year and our life. These are daily occurrences that are crippling us. The second thing we can learn from this story about the man that was set down to beg is this. This crippled man is put at the gate each day. Each day of each year of his life, he begged. So here's my revelation from that. Begging was his daily occurrence, but it wasn't working. It wasn't doing him any good. He was still crippled. If we're begging God to do things on a daily basis, it's not working because we're not meant to be beggars. So what are we doing on a daily basis that's not working? Have we a daily occurrence of being anxious or worried or depressed or speaking negatively or allowing fear and dread of any kind into our lives? If we've got any negative daily occurrences or frequently occurring things, then that's crippling us and we need to deal with it. Folks, if we're doing something daily that's not working, we need to stop it. And we need daily occurrences for a new year that are positive and that are good things. You know, if the horse is dead, get a new horse. There's no point in staying on it if it's dead. If what we're doing is not working, we need to change what we're doing. If how we're thinking is not working, we need to change how we're thinking. If we get up in the morning and by lunchtime it's been negative, change it at lunchtime and decide it's going to be positive. Because clearly the negative thoughts didn't do us any good. This was not my first date with Neil, but it was in the first week or so one of our first days. I have to say, in fairness to Neil, our first day was very nice. They took me to a really nice restaurant and we had a lovely meal. But this was a few days later. And on this day, I got ready and we often went in the car and Neil took me to the dump, which was really nice place to go. But in fairness to Neil, he was moving house. So he was moving from one flat to another flat. So he was tidying out a whole lot of rubbish and decided all this was going to the dump. So he said, do you mind going to the dump first? So off we went with a carload of stuff. One of our first dates, we'll laugh about it now, was at the dump. And so when we got there, Neil had a few things to throw in this massive big hole in the ground and just chucked them in. And he had this suitcase. And he just picked up the suitcase and he went to go like that. And I went, stop, what's in the suitcase? He said, I don't know, I haven't opened it. So he said, I moved from the last flat to the one I'm just moving out of. Suitcase was full, never opened it then in 3 years. Clearly don't need the stuff, not going to open it now to move to the next flat. And he just chucked the whole lot in the big hole in the ground. And he did know that roughly it was old university notes and things like that that he didn't need. But I just hope there's nothing in that suitcase you needed, because it's now well underground. So he took the whole suitcase and he just chucked it into this hole in the ground at the tip. When I was preparing this picture, this preach, I had a picture of someone standing with a suitcase. You know, like that Mary Poppins bag that you just stuff all your rubbish in over the years. All the upset, all the disappointment, all the anxiety, all the worries, all in that one suitcase. And the person standing with the suitcase in this massive big hole. And I feel God saying to you, take it and throw it. Don't look in it again. Don't look in what he said and what she said and what they did. You are so much bigger than that suitcase. You are so much more than that suitcase. You're so much more loved by God than anything that he did or she did or didn't do. Take it and throw it. Throw it into the hole in the ground in front of you. Give it to God and ask him to take it away. Get rid of the old habits, the old attitudes, and start new ones. You know what? If we don't do that, if we don't get rid of the old baggage at the start of a new year, the new year will just be a repeat of last year. That's all it will be. If we can, on a daily basis, arrest ourselves and say, Sandra, stop thinking that way. Stop speaking that way. Start speaking positively over your life. Stop believing what they've said. If they think that, that's their problem. It's not your problem. We need to stop in our tracks sometimes. No matter what time of day it is, stop in your tracks and just say, I'm not going down this road anymore, or this new year is going to be a repeat of the last year. If you don't want a repeat of last year, don't keep repeating it. Throw it. Get rid of it. Get rid of the old habits, the old attitudes, and start new ones. Start speaking positively. Start thinking positively about all that God has for us this new year. The third thing that we can learn, there's a lot to learn just from one wee verse so far. The third thing we can learn from this beggar that was sat there every day to beg is this, that he is begging beside the gate called Beautiful. This gate's name was stunning. This gate was called Beautiful. It was called the Beautiful Gate. Absolutely beautiful name for it. This man was outside of it. He was outside the temple. He hadn't entered in. He was sitting beside a beautiful thing, but he wasn't partaking of it. He hadn't entered in there. So here's my revelation from this. Begging means we're outside of the beautiful things that God has for us. We're not entering in if we're begging. We don't need to beg our Father in heaven for things. We just need to run to him. Okay, sometimes it's healthy to repeat the situation. Here's the situation, God, but you know what? I'm giving it to you. I don't want to carry it any longer. I'm throwing it into your big, massive pit so that I can forget all about it. This man was sitting beside all these things, but he never entered in. So why didn't he enter in? He didn't enter in because he didn't know who he was. He didn't know how much God loved him. He thought he was a beggar. He thought he was hungry and homeless. We can go through life thinking we're hungry and homeless and God's not got any good thing for us. He thought he had to beg God for things. He spent every day of his year begging. Every day. I don't think he's the only one. We can spend seasons of our life and months of our year begging God to do things that he's told us to do. And then Peter comes along and he shows this man begging doesn't work. You know, I could come before God for 365 days this year and say, God, I'm begging you to show me you love me. I'm begging you to show me you love me. I'm begging you to show me you love me. I don't know what God's going to do with that prayer because he's written a book. And from cover to cover, it tells me that God loves me. And it's up to me to read the book and believe it. So we are begging God sometimes to show us things that he's already done for us. And he can't do it again. So we're going to read the rest of the story, and it's still in Acts chapter 3, and it starts at verse 6. And this is Peter talking to the beggar. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Finally, this man gets to enter into all the good things that God has for him. See, he believed he was a beggar, and that was all he knew to do. But then Peter shows up, and he steps out in the authority of the name of Jesus, because Peter knew who he himself was. And he knew how to command things to change. He didn't come and beg God for the answer. He used the power that God gave him, and he commanded this man's year to change. He commanded his life to change. When was the last time we commanded something to change? When was the last time we commanded the sickness to go in Jesus' name, the kidney stone to go in Jesus' name? When was the last time we commanded things to move? If we get up feeling down, do we stay in that place of self-pity, or do we command it to go? Do we arrest ourselves in the middle of our day and say, I'm not going to think this way any longer. I'm commanding it to go in Jesus' name. Are we sitting outside of God's best begging for him to do something that he's already given us? You know, don't beg for more power in the Holy Spirit. Release what's in you. You've got enough power of the Holy Spirit on the inner belly, on the inside of us, to explode the walls out of this room. We need to release what we've already got. We need to command things to change. We've got the same authority as Peter, and we have the same name of Jesus that we can use in our situation. We're commanders too. We are not beggars. We can command our year to change. The last thing that point that I've got down from the scripture is this. For years, all this man did was beg. And then he had a revelation. And when he got that revelation, he entered the temple and all that God had for him. He went in through the gate that he used to sit beside. Now he's not begging anymore. He's walking and leaping and full of joy, worshiping God. Previously, he hadn't entered in. He'd sat outside all that God wanted to give him. We can go through life begging instead of entering into all that God has for us. All of the love, all of the acceptance, all of the joy, all of the peace. You know, things go through our mind. You're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're too much this and not enough that. Why do we listen to the garbage? Why do we carry the Mary Poppins bag, which just gets heavier and heavier as the years go by? We need to throw it, get it off of our lives. And you might say, well, Sandra, how do I enter into all that God has for me? The same way the beggar did, through the gate, through the gate. But Jesus is our gate. The Bible says about Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to God. Believe what he says about you. Believe he loves you. Believe he died for you. Believe that by his stripes, there's enough power to heal your body. We need to believe all those things. We need to stop begging and start talking to Jesus. Start believing the good things that he has for every single one of us. I'm almost finished today. I think my voice is almost finished too. But I'm going to say a prayer right here. So if you want this, if you want to enter through that gate today and you want to throw that Mary Poppins bag, and you don't want anything more to do with it, all the negative things from the past, then repeat this prayer. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I give you all that I am, all my faults and failures, and I give you all that I'm not, the days when I don't feel good enough. Because I believe that you love me and you have beautiful things for me this year. I want to stop begging and I want to enter in. Help me walk away from the negatives and believe the beautiful things that you have for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's as simple as that. Just give God all of the negatives and ask him to show you the good things. So here's my final revelation today. Only when this man stopped begging did he enter the temple. You couldn't enter the temple with the attitude of a beggar. You can't enter into all the things that God's got for you with the wrong attitude. It's only with the right attitude. He entered all that God had for him because he wasn't crippled anymore. He stopped begging and he started believing. We need to do the same. Stop begging and start believing all of the beautiful thing God has for you. We need to enter in and stop living outside of God's best, believing we're not good enough or God's not got those good things for us. Maybe for other people, but not for me. We must enter God's presence daily. Make it a daily occurrence to believe him. A daily occurrence to be with him. Having a happy new year takes daily effort because a year is made up of 365 of them. So it takes daily effort. If we really want a different year, we need to do some things differently. So here's just a few suggestions for every one of us, myself included. How about we take half an hour where we switch off the TV and read our Bible instead? How about we take half an hour where we switch off our phone and go for a walk with God instead and talk to God as we're walking? How about we take half an hour where we pray in tongues, maybe in the car on the way to work? How about we put some praise music on while we're getting ready? While we're putting the makeup on and then while we're taking the makeup off? If we change things one day at a time, we will change our year. If we change our year, we can change our life. A journey happens one step at a time. No one goes out the front door and goes, I think I'll run a marathon today. You need to build up to it. But if you take one step at a time, you can achieve a marathon. If we want our year to change, it starts now. Don't wait until December. Our new year is made up of 365 days. Changing it starts with today. Thank you. Let's the worship team to come up and join us.